Okay, we changed location a little bit. We are at Max and Emily's Diner with the owner, Elmo Walton. What's going on, man?
Welcome. We call this VIP after hours now because the restaurant's all shut down. But here we are. We've got food coming later. It's perfect.
Spoiler alert. You come to Max and Emily's, you have to have food. And I checked in with you. I was like, listen, if you're going to do this interview, I need food. And you're like, done.
Yeah. And I didn't even tell you what we're going to have, too. So I got there's one that you know, and then there's two that I think fit well.
I feel like I should just get this off my chest right away. I am that annoying customer that always comes here, but I order the same thing every time. And I feel so grateful that you're going to challenge me and make me try new things today.
I was just having lunch a little while ago with Coach Katie from lacrosse, and she has had the same sandwich every single time she's been here, including when she was here for her interview.
That's
unreal. It's just her go-to. And that's one of the best praises we can get is that this is my sandwich. I can only have this sandwich. I've got 83, but this one, that's my go-to every single time.
It's amazing. All right, there's so many places that I got to start, but like one for people that don't know about Max and Emily's. You are now what, the owner for 9 years?
9 years.
Tell us what people get when they come into Max and Emily's. What can they expect?
Well, you're going to expect chaos when you look at the menu. Like I just said, 83 sandwiches. Who does that? You're going to expect great food. That's always been one of our go-tos, is that the quality has to match the price. It's $14 for a sandwich. Everything's a little bit more expensive these days. But when you walk out, you're like, yeah, that was a really good sandwich. The ambiance, whether it's the jerseys on the wall or Rowan at the register, who knows every single guest's name and knows what they're going to order. There's that cheers mentality that we all strive from back in the 80s and the 90s, that everybody knows your name. It's a comfortable place. We treat you the same, no matter you're the president of the university or you're my good friend Adam coming here to have lunch, or you're somebody using a service, or you're the governor. We're going to call you by your first name. We're going to treat you the same way because you're family. And that's what we think these four walls mean, is family.
We had you on here because you are one of the most loyal, supportive Central Michigan Chippewas.
Thank you.
You are ingrained in this community, and your Max and Emily's are found at numerous athletic events. Football, you serve that for free. Every time the media has food, every football home game. Like, you are as entrenched in Central Michigan, without being in the athletic department or being a coach or anything like that, as you can be. So the question is, why? Why your passion for Central Michigan and Central Michigan athletics?
It's always been there. You know, it was ingrained upon me when I started working here 26 years ago from my old boss, Tim Brockman. Timmy was very active in athletics. You'd see him at football games. He had season tickets for the basketball. And as my relationship with him and the family got stronger, that love for CMU and the passion that I saw from him, not just to a program, but to an individual student athlete, to a coach, to an athletic director, an administrator, to a board of trustee member. There was genuine friendship and love and support. And it's very intoxicating. And when you spend time with a student athlete, you spend time with a coach, you spend time at a program, you can't help but be captivated with it. And my wife and I, Kelly, we wanted to be involved. And when we took over as owners 9 years ago, we wanted to continue to develop those relationships and see where they could possibly lead in the future. 9 years ago, NIL didn't exist. But when the opportunity presented itself, you know, I took a personal step and said, okay, what programs are really dear to my heart? And the first one was lacrosse. There was a young woman on the team who was down here after every home game. She'd bring in her parents. She was an East Grand Rapids graduate too, so there was some special love there. And when the NIL popped up, I was like, I, I told my wife, I said, I think we should do this with lacrosse. These are very special young women, student athletes, and we can make a small difference in their life. And so we did it. And from that has grown into other opportunities. We're going to be a corporate sponsor of athletics starting this upcoming year, which we're super excited about.
I'm super excited about it as well.
Yeah, there's more food coming your way, which is always good. Because you know when you see me, good food is coming your way.
Every time.
Every single time.
I see you, I get hungry. And I don't know if that's what you want, but like that's what I think of.
I'll take it. So that's where the love of athletics came from, and CMU as well. Because it's not just the athletic program. It's the marching band. It's the sixth man band. It's the cheer team and the dance team. It's going to the theater programs. It's going to musicals. It's whatever it is that we can do to go and support, because there's such awesome opportunities that happen on the south side of town that we all can go be a part of. You can go to the theater. You can go to a game. You can go watch lacrosse today, and it's world class. They're great people.
Yeah, and I mean, the cool thing is like so many people don't know where Mount Pleasant is or what's going on up there. And then it's kind of like these recruits, you get them here and then they don't want to leave. I mean, for you, like you go to school here and you've worked now at Max and Emily's for 26 years. Like there's something about this community and the people and how everybody treats each other up here that just feels like home.
That was one of the things that Coach Drinkle said, I think maybe in his press conference, was how special the town felt, you know, and we have that because you have businesses like Max Numways, you have businesses like Doozy's or Hunter's or my friend Jim at Mountain Town that are staples of the community, but they're just regular people and we all take care of each other. You don't find that in lots of places. And so we're special here.
And that's, you know.
And you find Chippewas everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. I got two fire up chips last week and I was in the south side of the country. And we ran into a young woman who spent her freshman year here in a small little town at a putt-putt golf. And I was wearing my lacrosse and she goes, fire up chips. Everybody knows fire up chips.
It's special. Okay, so I gotta know, like, I imagine you didn't go to school here and you're going, I'm gonna work at this local business in Mount Pleasant for the rest of my life. Like, if you have that all planned out, great. But
that'd
like,
be great.
How does this start that you got here and then you obviously have loved it and stayed here?
My fraternity brother Ed worked here and I needed a job. And so he got me an interview with my old manager, Deb. And we sat at the table right behind you, actually, 26 years ago. And
you looked like what back then?
I think my hair was orange. I'm pretty sure it was orange.
I got to be honest. If you
The beard was still there, not as much gray.
If you haven't met Elmo in person, it's very weird that I don't see you with your big sunglasses on right now.
Yeah, the sunglasses are back in the kitchen. I needed a job. And Ed loved working here. And I remember interviewing. I remember my very first day specifically. I remember meeting Timmy. And it was just a job. You know, as many of us have in our college careers, we need a job because we need an income. We have bills to pay. But there was something really special about this place. There was something special about what it was that Timmy was talking about, the things that he preached, the lessons that he taught us, both direct and indirect, and his level of community activism and community support without wanting to be at the forefront. It's, hey, I want to help out with this. I want to help out with that. I want to help out with that. But there's no need to mention my name. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. That's one of our core philosophies, doing it because it's the right thing to do. That really appealed to me at a young, impressionable age when I started here. And I don't think I'd been here 6 months when I was like, I want to be here for a while. And 26 years later, still here doing it. But still have that magical feeling when I'm talking to a staff member or talking to a guest or talking to you about the things that we think make us special as a restaurant, and I get to experience it now from Tim's perspective. I get to be the one teaching the lesson, talking about the values, giving those little one-liner quotes that, I hadn't thought of it from that way, and it might make a difference and help change the path or idea of a young staff member or guest.
You and I share a similarity that is not a similarity that I don't think anybody wants to share. Tim passed away.
Yeah.
And you're in this spot because he passed away. Don Scheido passed away, and I'm in this spot because, unfortunately, he passed away. But I think, in just knowing how I feel, it really helps you appreciate that person. You had a chance to work with him, and now you're still doing the same thing that he did. And I imagine he meant the world to you, and you still think about him all the time.
I do. I was telling stories in the kitchen today about him, and with a couple of guests today. You know, just because our mentors leave us doesn't mean that they leave us. They're still part of who we are, and they're still teaching lessons today. I see things in the kitchen. I see things in the restaurant or in life, and I can reflect back to a moment when Timmy was talking to me about this, or when he was describing, you know, why do we do X? Well, we do it because it's the right thing to do. Why do we call someone by their first name? Because they're family. It doesn't matter where they fall on the social economic pay scale of life. I see those things here with him every day. And he's buried just a little couple blocks over that way. So, every day when I drive into work, morning, Timmy, and on my way home, hi, Timmy, every single day.
That's amazing.
He's my guy.
What do you think he taught you the most, or what do you still remember about him today?
Oh, that's a good question. Patience. I see that from a different perspective now than I did 26 years ago. He was a beautiful man for patience. I see his belief that together we are great, that we can do awesome things when we all are working towards a common vision. We can do this. We can wave our way there, and we might have a little bit over here, and I have ideas going to pull us this way, but we're still moving forward together. I got a lot of that from him. That's it. That's the good stuff.
And so now, I'm guessing, were you just like a cook, a chef before you were owner, or what were you doing? Everything, so, other duties assigned?
You know, I started just as general staff.
Yeah.
And I remember my first day making sandwiches and thinking, oh my gosh, this is a lot. 83 sandwiches. I'm never remember this. And then about a year and a half in, Timmy promoted me to manager. And then a little while later was general manager. I was general manager until 17 when I bought it. It had long been in our plans, both Tim and myself and the Brockman family and the Walton family, that this was the end goal, was Elmo and Kelly buying Max and Emily's. And we were fortunate that 2 weeks before he passed away, we came to terms. We had everything taken care of. We had the numbers done. We had everything ready to rock. And then he passed away unexpectedly. And the only difference was when his wife Liz and I signed the paperwork, was that he wasn't there in person. He was still there. He was having a great time, and he was smiling because I believe that he's still here, part of us. The only difference was he couldn't just, you know, give you a little pat on the back. But I knew that he was.
And now you're coming up on 10 years as the owner of this place. And again, if you haven't been to Mount Pleasant, like, there are so many great businesses and restaurants to come here, but like, this place is just, it feels like home for me. I love coming in here, and I know there are so many other individuals that love coming in here. I can't imagine the pride you have now. As you said, it takes everybody, but like, you are the owner of this place, and you're going to hit 10 years in 2027.
I know. It happened fast. I don't know where 10 years went. and And I'm looking forward to the next 10 years and maybe a couple after that as well. But there's so many wonderful things that I've been able to be a part of because of the restaurant, because of the team that works here, because of the family. And there's so many things that we have yet to discover. I'm looking forward to the discovery part, you know, and trying to figure out, okay, this is what we do now, but what is that next level? What's that next level in the community? What's that next level with athletics? What's that next level as a team and as people? There's, those are the fun things I've been enjoying thinking about this last year and a half or so.
You guys don't just serve sandwiches. In the summer, I think for at least like a decade plus now, you have had a concert series that's like right out here and Main Street gets shut down and it's a great time.
Yeah.
And then you also have, I'm forgetting, on Sundays and throughout the week.
People helping people.
People helping people, where you're literally just serving food to individuals for free, hoping that everybody can get a meal. So can you talk about all of that outside of just serving sandwiches to people when they come and eat?
So 10 years ago, Timmy discovered that Soup Kitchen was closed on Sundays. And so if you were in need of a meal, you didn't have any place to go to get that meal. And so we talked about it and came up with this plan where we would be doing meals on Sunday for those in need. There is a homeless population in town, but the majority of our guests that utilize that service are the working poor. Somebody who has to choose, do I put gas in my car to get to work tomorrow or do I eat today? Do I put clothes on my kids or do I eat today? Those are incredibly difficult life places to be. And those are the majority of people that we serve. And so it started 10 years ago. The very first day that we did it, we served 31 meals, I believe. It was a disaster back in the kitchen. It did not go anything like we thought it was going to. And we learned and got better. And as the years have gone on, the program has expanded and increased in numbers. And I remember sitting with Tim talking about, you know, we're gonna feed these 31 people, but if 200 people walk in the door, we're gonna feed 200 people.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing that on Sundays for 10 years now. Last year we served 9,200 meals, I believe was the count. That's one of the things that we as a restaurant take a lot of pride in, the fact that we are trying to make a difference and help out those that need a little bit of help and don't ask for thank yous or social media likes or stories in the newspaper. We do it because it's the right thing to do. That program has expanded this year. The Soup Kitchen had a pipe burst back in January, and the executive director called me on Monday and said, hey, we have a problem. Would you be willing to do your meals during the week to kind of help out and pitch in because we're going to be down for a while? And so we've been doing that now for almost 12 weeks. And today I think we had 157 meals that we passed out. It's special. It's really something to be able to give back to those that need a little bit of help. It's special to watch my young staff realize that everybody asks for help at different stages in life, and it doesn't make you any less of a person. It doesn't make you lose your dignity. It just means that, hey, I'm going through a rough patch. Can you help me, friend? Okay, yeah, we can definitely help you. It is my favorite thing that we do.
And you guys aren't like starving for customers. You guys are busy. Like you're open like eight to four. We're here on a Monday. You guys are open 8 to 4, and we appreciate you let us come in at the end of the day. But like, how are you serving all of the regular customers that come in and then still have time to serve for the other customers that
Are you ready? Because I'm hungry. Like, I mean, we're going to finish talking about this bit, but I'm hungry. You hungry?
Oh, we have food? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to answer that question while Luke and Ava bring out some food here.
I love this.
Yeah, I mean,
and this is wait, hold on. This is the experience. You come to Max and Emily's. They call your name and they bring you food right up here.
Oh my gosh!
Look at this. How did you know I wanted a Ken's French dip?
Well, I, you know,
thank you.
I might have known you for a couple years now. I don't remember, what was the original question?
How do you guys have time?
Oh,
do
that's
everything.
Right. We learned.
Oh, we're getting more food.
Yeah,
this is amazing.
Food. This one is the lacrosse special, the number 85.
Oh my gosh.
So we learned a lot during COVID. So we did the exact same thing during COVID, not because the soup kitchen was closed. We did it because everything was closed. And we gave out meals for 117 days to anybody who came in and needed a meal. No questions asked. You said, hey, I need a meal. I've got you covered. And we learned during that phase how to build them during lunch service, and then how to be like, you know what, we need to be building these before lunch service. And so this morning, Brandy and Dylan and Ellen and I were here at 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning when we pre-made 135 of those sandwiches.
Wow.
Had them all bagged up in a cooler, ready to go by 10 o'clock. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's what you do. And When the soup kitchen called and said, hey, we're closed, I told my manager, Brandy, and then I put on an email. And my staff that came in who were here during COVID, I said, we're going to do this the exact same way we did during COVID. Mm-hmm. And they're like, got it. No problem. We know what to do.
Taking care of people. I mean,
it's called people helping people for a reason.
Right. But also, like, It clearly, you're getting a call. Do you need to get that?
I'm not. unless it's Kelly.
It clearly seems like you were put on this earth to serve people, because you've got in the service business and you've stayed in the service business. And I can tell the impact that it has on you. I mean, I imagine you seeing people's faces light up when you serve them food has to bring you the absolute most joy.
I love it. And I love it. The parts though, like if a guest comes in and I'll sit and talk to them or talk to another guest, and like they have a mouthful and I ask them a question and I'm like, oh shoot, you had your mouthful. That's the best.
Yeah.
I want to be interrupted talking to you because you have food in your mouth. That means that we're all winning.
You know, your parents always say chew with your mouth closed. Elmo's like, actually, no. Spill it all over your front. Okay, speaking of that, we have food. We need to eat this. So what do we got? We got the Ken's French dip, which is my favorite. I get it every time. What else do we have here?
We have the Caesar wrap over here and here with you.
Okay.
The Caesar wrap is Coach Katie from Lacrosse's. She has had nothing else. That's the only sandwich she's had.
Caesar wrap.
It's also the Rob Wyman go-to sandwich. He wants me to bottle up my Caesar dressing and sell it to him. He loves the Caesar dressing. Hi, Rob. And then the last one, these two on the focaccia bread, is the Mac Champs. The Mac Champs was helped created by the lacrosse program.
Love it.
So it was the day of the eclipse. We're sitting out front on the patio. It was me and Sky and two other girls from the program. And we were kind of had the loose ends of the sandwich. And then we finally put everything together. And I'm like, okay, we need a name. Mac Champs. But it's got to be plural because we're back-to-back champions.
100%. So what's in this one?
So the Mac Champs is on focaccia bread, scallion cream cheese, provolone, bacon, and then a hot pepper bacon jam.
Wow.
Grilled.
Okay.
Caesar wrap is a traditional Caesar wrap, but we're going to use house-made croutons in there, which we think gives it a little bit of pizzazz.
Okay.
It's got a crunch as if you're having a Caesar salad, but I can hold it in a tortilla.
And tell them about the best sandwich that you have on the menu.
Ken's French dip. I would name it after you, but no, but Ken still comes in here. So we did Ken's French dip on our Swiss overroll. We call them a hero bun.
Mm-hmm.
Roast beef, provolone cheese, au jus.
So good. Okay, we got to do these at the same time. I'm going to save Ken for the end.
Really?
I got to get in these. All right, so
what was
the Caesar wrap? We can do that.
We need two more tables.
We'll make it work. We got plenty of space. Also,
yeah, and it's funny because I told the team, I'm like, hey, we need chips and a pickle. It's a bit excessive right now.
Yeah, but that's okay. Like, if you need some Ripple chips, we got you covered here at Max and Emily's.
We do, and it's that's been our chip going back to the day I started.
Lock and barrel.
True story.
Okay, so sorry about the mics. You're going to be in the way, but yeah, do we cheers this? Or?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You need a napkin.
Yeah. How come you... Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what we're doing. That's really good. And this is, you said, chicken, Caesar, lettuce, and...
Chicken, Caesar, lettuce, croutons, and then provolone cheese and Parmesan cheese as well.
Amazing. Can I take a second bite?
Yeah,
we good? Yeah, because I'm going to do it anyway.
I like that he asked. It is traditionally a top 10 sandwich weekly and then yearly.
Really?
Yeah. 7 to 5.
I'm guessing you guys keep tabs on which sandwiches sell the most. You have to do that.
I do.
Okay. So can you fill us in or is that not like public information?
There's a little bit of waves because sometimes trends change a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But the number one sandwich since 2012 every year is the Fiery Turkinator.
Okay, I've heard about that one.
Number one sandwich every year. It was created by our friend Jesse, who was a guest. We did a little contest to create a Max and Emily's sandwich. Created it, put it, it won. We put it up on the New Creations board. It took off. We put it on the menu, and it took off even more. And Jesse has long since graduated, but when he comes back up, that's his go-to sandwich with his wife and daughter. He's like, Elmo, it tastes exactly the same as it did 13 years ago.
Listen, if you have a sandwich named after you, you have an excuse to get the same thing every time.
Yeah.
Like Ken better be getting this every single time.
Do you want a fun Ken story?
Yes.
So Ken was a mathematics professor on campus.
I want to know about my hero Ken.
Back in the day. And I was doing a closing shift on a Monday, and we used to get our truck deliveries from Cisco on Tuesday. And it was Monday night. I am completely out of roast beef. I don't have anything left in the restaurant. And Ken walked in the back door. And I was excited. I'm like, Ken's gonna have to have something new today. There's no options. So Ken came up and I said, Ken, I'm so sorry. I'm completely out of roast beef. We're gonna have to have something new today. And he goes, Elmo, I'll come back and see you tomorrow. And turned around and walked out the back door. Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
The passion and dedication that he had to the sandwich.
It's his sandwich.
It's his sandwich.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay. So Caesar wrap done.
Caesar wrap done.
We got to do this next. Remind me the name.
We're doing the Mac Champs.
The Mac Champs.
You gonna hand me your Caesar wrap? I can clear the table a little bit.
Oh, okay. Thanks, man.
I just don't want to hit the microphone.
Now, this is like packed. This is packed to the max here.
There's a lot going on there.
Shout out the toothpicks to hold this all together. You need that.
Shout out to LaCrosse for coming up with this sandwich. Thank you, Sky.
Look, he's even got his LaCrosse champion shirt on. Well done. Okay, I'm getting in here.
This is so good.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're expanding my horizons right now.
You've had two new sandwiches today.
This is more than I've had in 10 plus years here. I'm taking a second bite. All right, so we got the bacon. What is this? Turkey? Is this?
Mm-hmm. Bacon, turkey, hot bacon, pepper jam, scallion cream cheese, and provolone. All on a toasted focaccia bread.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And I'm like a picky individual. Clearly, I get this every time.
When we put it up as a new creation, we had them all on the cooler there by the register. And for like 6 months, it was the number one selling new sandwich.
Wow.
And it was top five every day for sandwiches sold. It's great. It's great.
I was telling Nick, who's shooting this for us, when you come into Max and Emily's, you leave with like the Max and Emily smell. Like you open that door and you're like, yes, I'm here. I'm getting a sandwich. It's going to be great. And you're maybe going to get some soup, some dessert. You guys have everything.
Yeah. I don't notice the Max and Emily smell anymore because it's been 26 years.
You are the Max and Emily smell. Yeah.
But I hear from friends like, oh, yeah, almost here. And I haven't come in the room yet because they can smell the Max Assemblies. Again,
see you and we think of food.
Is there a way that we can like bottle that as like a perfume or something?
We're gonna have
Rob Wyman's Caesar bottle over here and then the Max Assemblies perfume over here.
It's amazing.
It's a horrible idea. We should not.
No, it's not. It's a great idea. All right.
Nick, do you want a bite? Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on in here. Tag into that that Mac Champs. That's delicious.
That one is Caesar good. This is better for me though. This has got like just a bunch of different flavors in it.
Yes, I give all the credit to La Crosse. I had a couple of starters in there, and they finished it off.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm gonna pass this to you.
Okay.
And then we're gonna get. Listen again. How many? 83 sandwiches?
83 sandwiches.
There are 83 sandwiches here at Max and Emily's, and they all are splendid. Trust me, I've tried now 3 of them. But there is none better than Ken's French Dip. Just traditional. We got the au jus here. I mean, half of it's on my shirt by the time I leave here.
I'm not judging.
I love it. I've been waiting for this
moment.
Are
you okay sharing? Because usually you get a hole, and I
yes, of course. Mm. You kidding me?
Sharing is caring.
That's right. See, I'm learning from you.
Ooh, working over the microphone.
All right, here we go.
This is one of my go-to sandwiches.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Mm. Yeah.
I would eat this one and the Caesar wrap.
All the time?
Those are usually my go-to.
I was going to say, do you have like a top, I know obviously all 83, but like, do you have a top like 3 to 5 that you go to? Do you switch it up?
I'm going to be honest with you. If I've had 30 sandwiches, that's the top for me.
Really?
I have not had every sandwich on the menu. Only one person ever has. And it wasn't my old boss. It wasn't Timmy.
I know who it was. Volleyball?
Yeah.
Mike Golick. Every time I would go in his office,
he had the menu on his office door. High praise. Thank you. Thank you, coach. It took him, I think he said about 7 years to get through all of them because, again,
a new one that you like and you're like, I have to keep getting this for a little bit.
That was it. He'd eat the croissant or he'd have the turkinator or he'd have the that one sandwich and be like, I it's all I want to have.
Yeah.
And so he eventually got there after 7 years. And I just loved that he had the menu on his office door. And then he had a little number system, a little ranking for him. Yay on this, pass on that.
That's amazing.
Thank you, coach.
With CMU Athletics, this is cool because you do this to me. By the way, I'm going to continue eating this while we talk.
Eat up. Nick, you want to tag in some French dip here?
Yeah.
You got to. Best sandwich. Have you had this yet? Okay, he's had it.
See, he's a good man. He knows what's up.
Yeah,
he knows what's up.
You check in with the coaches, with the student athletes, me, other athletics employees. I mean, you are always blowing up our phones. Like, I just think it's the coolest thing in the world.
If we could edit this part out, because sometimes my wife is like, why haven't you texted me back yet? I was texting all the coaches.
She won't watch. Who knows?
Oh, she's gonna watch. Honey, you got a little on the beard there from the sandwich.
That's perfect.
I texted several student athletes today. I texted all of women's basketball coaches this morning. I text Amy. I text Neil, because I want them to know that there's somebody out there again that cares, who doesn't want anything from you. I had a dinner with a coach last month, and they were talking to both Kelly and I, and she's like, one of the things that we love about you and your support is that you just give and you just support and you you don't want anything. I really don't. I don't want my name on something over here. I don't want a t-shirt or a thank you or a like on Facebook. We just want to support because we love the program.
It's legit, because genuine care.
We love the student athlete. We love the coach. And I love that relationship. I love that the coach Christine from gymnastics, she'd be like, I haven't got my Elmo text. Today it's game day. And then there'd be the Elmo text and she'd be like, all right, let's go get it. Not that helped at all. It was all Coach Christine.
Regular season and MAC championships. They got it
back. Mm-hmm. But I love that we have that relationship. And I love that her husband, Keith, was texting me last week asking for travel advice and sent me a text. Hey, are you downstairs in your office? Because we're all up here in the dining room. There's genuine love and friendship there without wanting anything.
If you would like to get a deep dive on what my text message that I receive from Elmo consistently, I'll look over, if it's basketball season.
Okay.
I'll look over and I'll see you sitting over there because I've received a text from you that says something like, don't say anything you shouldn't on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the
FCC. Which I haven't yet.
The FCC is watching or listening. I'm not sure which one that is. I'll text you. I listen to you and Brock for the away games, and I don't know if there's a tape delay. Don't ever tell me, but I'm listening and I'm texting Brock and I'm texting you, and sometimes it's not radio appropriate, but I love that we can do that.
Yeah,
and I love that we have a friendship that allows that. What a gift for me that I get to experience life with you. That's the cool stuff.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that will come into the booth or they'll text me throughout the game and they'll be like really hesitant. Like, I didn't want to bug you. And I'm like, no, that's literally the best part of the broadcast. I'm like, one, oh, there are people listening. And two, like, for real though, like there are people that are as passionate about Central Michigan as me and they want to see this team win and they're dialed in. I love that.
Yeah. I didn't for many years. I never texted with Don during a game because you're working. You don't text me when I'm back in the sandwich line. I got 18 tickets.
No, now I'm going to text you.
But text
all
me.
All the time.
But text me. I love that. But from our texting, there was a game last year. You were giving Brock some grief because he was.
That's like every game, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But you were giving him more grief because he'd gotten like snacks from the local gas station.
Yep.
And that's not okay. You need Ken's French dip.
You do.
You need.
Which reminds me, I'm going to take a bite.
Yeah, please do. You need chocolate chip cookies. You need baked goods. And I was like, this is just, I want Brock to eat good food. Mm-hmm. I love Brock. I've known him for 26 years. But from that text message came this idea of, I wonder if we can do something. And so up these next year, what are we calling it?
I don't even know.
The food sponsor.
Are we breaking news right now?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some.
We're breaking bread and we're breaking.
I got to get a hold of P so I get the wording right. But there's some kind of sponsorship that Max Summers is doing with you on the broadcasts, and there's going to be food involved.
And, we're all for it.
And listen, if I have to drive to Buffalo while y'all are flying, and bring along sandwiches, and we're going to cook them fresh there in the booth. Or, you know, great. I think that we should put the grill right on the field and just grill sandwiches right there.
That's,
you know,
good idea.
During the game, because that wouldn't be a safety hazard at all.
No.
It could be.
We got to get our food.
Yeah. One really good story about that. So we talk about football. Max Nemlis has for more than 20 years been involved with home football games.
You guys have the spot on the concourse that fans can get.
We have the spot on the concourse. We're up on the press level where you are. We're feeding STT security, the police, the marching band. Every game for 2006, 2005, the marching band. And there was one year where Timmy was doing the food for the police. We were doing fresh burgers off the grill for him. And it was kind of like misty raining outside of the IAC where it was set up. And so somebody said to Tim, hey, just bring the grill inside. And so he brought the grill inside. And as happens when you're grilling, sometimes the grease comes off of the grill. And Timmy called me after the fire was out, but he set the turf in Turf Bay on fire.
Whoops.
And Kristen Kasuda was in charge back then, and he had to call her and tell her that, hey, there's a little bit of turf missing.
There's an issue here.
There's a little bit of turf missing. And a couple of years back, they redid the turf inside Turf Bay. And when that happened, Kristen, who's no longer in the athletic department at the university, but still at the university, had them take that section that was replaced, and she put it into these little boxes that says Tim's Turf. And I have that in my office. And she gave another box to Andy Brockman, Tim's son, and to Liz Brockman, Tim's wife.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so we...
just great memories with the people here.
Just setting the turf on fire. So we're not going to bring the grill down.
Literally, our slogan is fire up chips.
It is. And we're going to bring the grill when we go to Western. Because I'll set their turf on fire.
All right. Where do I go from that? Okay. Yep. I got to brag about you with the media food for football.
You're going to bring it up, aren't you?
I am going to bring it up. You knew I was going to do this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay. So first, I need you to tell me like the regular meals that you guys usually serve. The last couple of years, what are the meals that you serve for football media?
We've been doing barbecue beef brisket on either a pretzel bun or... a Kaiser bun. We'll do different kinds of salads, whether it's pasta salad, potato salad, sometimes macaroni. Of course, the cookies.
The cookies are so good.
Kettle chips and French onion dip. We used to have one of the assistant coaches that when they came back from halftime, we would hold a bag of kettle chips out and he'd grab it as he was running down the hallway and take it into the booth. And that was their afternoon snack.
Like, these are the stories that nobody get. This is amazing.
We'll do that. We've done authentic Philly cheesesteak bar. Mm-hmm. I had bread from Philadelphia driven here, so it was specific. We've done egg casserole.
The egg casserole is elite.
The egg casserole is spectacular.
I tell you, every time you bring that in, I'm like, dude, I love when we have
the tater tots.
Yes,
that was one of my old GM's suggestions. She's like, we used to do hash browns. Everybody has hash browns. It's a casserole. She's like, we should try it with the tots. Yep. And so we tried it with the tots, and the tots rise up with the eggs as they're cooking. So every bite of eggs, whether you're biting the top of it or the bottom of it, is going to have some tots.
I have food in front of me, and my mouth is still watering, thinking about it.
Such a great idea. Those are some of the wonderful things that we do. There was one that we did.
One special day.
I wasn't a big fan of it because it made me become a lot more gray. We did meatloaf one time.
Who is the weirdo that requested meatloaf for the media in the press box? Well, I didn't know. Hold on. I didn't just do meatloaf. I was like, Elmo, like if you ever are taking like suggestions like meatloaf and we got to do the mashed potatoes and we got to do the green beans and it was all there.
That was a very, very stressful 16, 17 hours because, you know, we all know in life, sometimes things are going your way and sometimes they're not. And that one turned hard into the knot.
I think I upset some people. They were like, what is this?
You know
why meatloaf?
Everybody raved about it. You raved about it. STT security loved it. The police loved it. It was a huge hit for 500 and some odd people.
And like, we'll never forget. You have the food that you usually, and then people are like, do you remember the meatloaf day? But like secretly they get angry, but they're like, yeah, it was so good.
It'll be the first game and I'll walk into you, but they're like, hey, almost meatloaf on the schedule this year. And I haven't seen you in 2 months. This is what you're... Maybe Maybe someday it will make a triumphant return. No, hold on.
One and done is totally fine because it's legendary that we did it just this one time.
Okay, then I can. I'm just gonna let it be then.
Yeah, let it be.
I'm gonna let the gray hairs be the gray hairs.
But like, again, like in seriousness, like you didn't have to do that. I'm one person working this entire event, and that's the entire media. And you're like, no, I'm gonna do something that's a little bit trickier, but it's gonna make Adam happy, so I want to do it.
Yeah, that's what this is. You know, let's make a difference in everybody, but every once in a while you can make a difference in the one person. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll take that one.
It really is. Okay. So you've been to the games, you've listened to the games, you've been around CMU. Like, you have to have some favorite Central Michigan athletics memories, either games you were at or you think about now. Like, what are we talking here?
Yeah. So,
and I'm going to eat more.
Please do. I always love the press conferences. Those are always fun. An opportunity to watch a new coach. I remember Kristen Haney's press conference was a lot of fun. President Davies had a little bit of fun with me on that one. I remember.
Do you like bring the Max and Emily's menu and just like slip it to the new coaches?
They already know.
You should.
They already know.
Word travels fast.
They already know. I remember when women's basketball was cutting down the nets in 2017 for winning the regular season championship, because it was a Saturday and Timmy had passed away on Thursday. And I snuck out of here and went and watched the last 5 minutes. And I remember watching Jewel Cotton, and I remember watching Cassie Breen, both of who had worked here at various stages in their life. And I remember Jewel making eye contact with me. I was off to the side. And she made content. She kind of did a little head nod. That one sticks out pretty well.
I have goosebumps, man. That's awesome.
You know, I remember when we played in the JMAC. Was it the JMAC Bowl? JMAC?
GMAC.
GMAC. Thank
yeah.
you.
GMAC, yeah. Alphabet. Down in Alabama, I think.
Yeah, I make sandwiches, not alphabet letters. I remember watching that game. Because it was on January 6th, I believe.
Would that have been 2009?
2009. Yep. Because my son Lennon was born on December 30th. And I remember he had a little CMU onesie that was super, super extra, extra small. Yep, that's him right
to
there.
To Lennon. Shout out Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush.
Not with the Cowboys anymore, but was with the Cowboys.
We'll still give the love.
Yeah. Go Baltimore.
I remember sitting on the couch with my newborn son watching football and everything was right with the world.
That's so cool.
That's a good one. You'll see me at the sidelines of all the games, volleyball, gymnastics. I would have been at lacrosse today, but we were super busy here at the restaurant.
And we're making you stay late.
Not a problem. But they're all there, and when you get a chance to stop and reflect that. I got to do these things with the people that I love and I work with and got to do them with the family. You know, that's great. We have season tickets for men's and women's basketball. And my daughter, Charlotte, she's not a basketball fan. She's not even like it's pulling teeth. She does not want to go and sit, but she goes and she comes with me and she'll sit there and we'll get some popcorn and we'll sit and we'll talk about this player or we'll watch this part of the game, or we'll just sit there and talk. And it's provided me an opportunity to be with my family. That was the message I had to a couple of the assistant coaches with men's basketball, because that last game was a heartbreaker. It was winning we're in, losing we're going to go, get ready for next year. And I was talking to a couple of them 2 days later, and I said, this was not how the season wanted to end for us. And I said, but one thing that you probably don't think about is that on 2 days a week for 3.5 months, I got to go watch men's basketball with my son and my daughter, my wife. That's time I can't, that time I would buy all the tickets in McGurk for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's great memories, and man, it's, you said it, like there's heartbreak with these sports, with these teams, but like, that's how you grow. That's how you get better. Like you experience the hardship, but like, then when it comes, then when you get that championship or you win that game and you get to compete for the championship, like that's the really cool thing about seeing these student athletes like come in as freshmen, leave as seniors, or whenever they come and leave, like you get to see not only them grow up as a person and become more mature and just start to be the leaders of the team and everything, but you also, you remember like the hardships they went through, and then like the good times just make it that much more special.
There was a moment I was in, it was a home football game, and I was in that hallway where baseball is and the CAF, setting something up, and President Davies was down at the other end talking with a football recruit, and I was listening. I was paying attention to what he was saying to this recruit. And what he said is, we want two things. We want you to have a diploma in one hand and a championship ring in the other. And that always stuck out to me. That level of passion from a transfer student that he had, or a recruit, whoever it was. I don't even remember who it was. And I always loved the fact, and I'm going to give President Davies all the credit for this, that he said a diploma in one hand. He led with the student, yes, because it's a student athlete. A diploma in one hand and a championship ring in the other. And I think about that one often, and I want that for the student athletes. I want you to have your diploma, and I have accomplished life, huge life goal. And I got the ring on this finger.
It's amazing. It's amazing because it is about the university and then the athletic success after that. Okay. For people that haven't been to Mount Pleasant, I need you to tell me where Max and Emily's is located, where they can find you, and the hours when they can come in and either come get breakfast or lunch, or maybe like a little late lunch. What are we working on?
I think we should do it all after hours. We should just do this every single time. I love that
I look over and Nick, our cameraman, is just chowing down on all of the food we got.
Yeah. I can't believe he didn't pull up a chair yet and be like, hey, I'm part of the segment. My name is Nick. Welcome. We are open Monday through Sunday. We open Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, Sunday from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We are right in the heart of downtown, 125 East Broadway, corner Broadway and University. We're here every day.
Come hear your name get called when your food is served. It's awesome.
That's special, you know, because it's not just Adam. Hey, I got a French dip for Adam. And then Adam is doing, oh my God, I'm so excited.
I'm over here. For the 100th time, I got Ken's French dip. Yeah, but like you're deep in conversation. It's packed in here. And you're right. You always hear when your food is coming. You never have to look for it. You'll hear it.
I do stress upon guests that are having a good time at the register. Then they're like, oh, my name is Billy and their name is Jim. You know, I'm like, if you give the wrong name and I'm yelling and you're like, that's going to fit on you. That's going to sit on you. I do have a guest that when they come in, uses the name Starving so that we can say, I've got lunch for Starving. And he goes, I'm Starving. Off camera, I'll tell you all about that guest. They're going to watch and get a smile out of it.
That's amazing. Wow. Well, I need a sip of water here.
That's a good idea.
Let me just say that there's a lot of people that I've come across in Mount Pleasant, and I've spent some time here in the athletic department, the university, and I know this is like renowned around here. It's not just me. Everybody feels this way about you, is you are so giving and you care so much about not just the athletic department, but this university, this community. And Let's like we went through this whole episode. You can hear how much it means to you and how impactful you have been. And for everybody that knows you, I just want to say, man, we really appreciate everything
you do. Thank you. It's just love. And that's what it is. It's just love. It's trying to be a good person, trying to be a better person, trying to make a difference.
I love it. Thanks for doing this, man.
Thanks for having me.
Elmo Walton. Wait, hold on. Last question. I had to look up what his actual name was today. Chris, is that your ex?
Whoa!
Oh, I'm not allowed to say that?
No! Do you know how many people in town don't know I have an actual legal name?
Can you tell us the story of how you got this nickname / your name?
I don't tell this story to people. I'm
asking you right now.
Man, you're killing me here. you heard me talk about my fraternity brother, Ed.
Yep.
It was an old fraternity nickname.
Really?
You know, when I was rushing and pledging Phi Sigma Phi back in the fall of 98.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like 1950. What?
Well, it feels that way after all these years. I'm like, how old am I? I had an Elmo necklace that I used to wear and an Elmo t-shirt I would wear all the time. Because another friend of mine, she bought it for me. And she's like, you know, whenever you're feeling sad, whenever you're having, you know, your mental health is doing one of these kind of moments, she goes, give Elmo a squeeze. You can't help but smile and laugh at the silliness of this character. And I'm like, all right. And it was cute. And there were times that I was like, all right, I can give it five. I'm good for a couple more minutes. And so I wore the shirt all the time. And when you rush the fraternity, they give you a nickname. Most of them probably are not appropriate for the air. I can't remember anymore. But they said we couldn't possibly name you anything other than Elmo. Yeah. And I remember, as I was meeting new people and experiencing life, people remember that name. It's unique. It sticks out. Mm-hmm. And as my time here at Max and Emily's grew, people would associate Elmo with Max and Emily's and Max and Emily's Elmo. That was a vision that Timmy had. That was a vision that I had, that those two correlate together. I don't want to put a value behind it. It's great marketing. But yeah, it's been that way for 30 years, whatever it is now. Nobody uses the other name. Don't ever trust me.
I had to Google and I'm like, oh my God, that's his real name. That's crazy.
Yeah. Nobody does. Wow.
Well, come see Elmo right here at Max and Emily's 83 sandwiches. You guys are open.
Really
all
only
week.
Just one, the French dip.
Yeah, get the French dip. And Ken, shout out, man. Thank you. Seriously, thanks for doing this. This has been awesome.
Thanks for having me.